Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
I want to try to finish chapter 1 of Ephesians. It is a precious book of deep doctrine. Let's go back and let's try to bring to memory a little bit of what's gone before. Paul is writing to Gentiles who were strangers and pilgrims from strangers from the commonwealth of Israel without hope, without God in the world. God has manifested His power and His right to choose and His right to save and His right to love in the nation of Israel, and that God had chosen them, God loved them, God carried them all through the Old Testament, through everything they faced, and He never forsook them. He punished them when they misbehaved, but He loved them and He loved them and He loved them. Now it's coming to the Gentiles, the fullness of the time when God sent His Son into the world. And this man, the Apostle Paul, and all the legality of the law that he had been teaching as a Pharisee, God struck him down. God revealed Himself to him. God caused him to be born of the Spirit. God sent this man who hated Gentiles, delivering him, Acts 26 says, from the Gentiles, and then sending him to preach to the Gentiles, to bring the gospel, something they'd never had before, something they'd never heard before, something they did not know, that they were fellow heirs with the nation of Israel, fellow heirs in Christ, through Christ, with Christ. It is all the work of God in Christ. Because He died for us, Gentiles and Jews. He cleansed us of our sins, made us holy and without blame before God the Father in love, brought us unto God, and gave us His Spirit, which reveals Him to us and causes us to desire to have a will to love Him and serve Him. All the goodness of God. Last week we spoke about 11 and 12, I think 13, 4, 14, of the inheritance that we have. Our inheritance is in Christ. He is our elder brother. That inheritance, as we read and hear about being predestinated to the adoption of sons, predestinated, that means chosen before the world was, not every act that we do, because we're not robots. We were not made to sin of God. That came through Adam. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin, not by the Lord God. But He took us and He saved us. He predestinated our end. He predestinated where we would spend eternity. People laugh like nothing's going to happen. People these days do not have answers to repercussions for their actions, they think. But every sin has a recompense, and God is going to judge the world by that man, Jesus Christ. And when you think about being compared to the perfect Son of God and God judging you by that, there's not one that could stand equal with Him. But you, child of God, He changed, He loved, He cleansed. And that's why you have this inheritance in Christ, that Christ bought you with His blood. Now, the inheritance is there. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And just very briefly in remembrance, that is that we have the knowledge of God in our heart. I said this last week and I mean it. Other people will not have it. Other types of religious doctrines will not have it. But I'm going to tell you, it was said yesterday, if we deny Him, He also will deny us. That is so very true. If we walk in this world denying God, He will deny us. He will not allow you to manifest yourself as the Son of God, and you will not have the peace of God if you deny Him. That was given to the lost sheep of the house of Israel when the Lord directed it in the context, but it stands true with us also. But then we see in 1 Timothy 3 where He says, if we deny Him, He also will deny us, yet if we believe not, He abideth faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. And nothing can take your eternal life, your sonship away. Nothing can take your inheritance away. I don't care what someone does in this world, God, if they're His, still loves them. They still have that seal. somewhere inside them, beyond all that misery that they've caused themselves to walk in, they have an assurance in them. May not see it. I've been there. May not feel it. But they have an assurance. And when that time comes around, they will realize that assurance that God is with them. It talks about the earnest, the first fruit of our inheritance. And we come to verse and the reason for it, to the praise of the glory of God, that God gives us the measure of faith, that we know God, that God is within us. Like Steve said, just a very small portion. We cannot withstand the fullness of the Spirit of God as long as we live in this body. It says, I think, in Paul's writings in Timothy, speaking of Christ being the only man, and he was all man and all God, who could dwell in the light of the glory of God. We can't exist. We'd be destroyed if we had the fullness of the Spirit within us. This sinful body could not contain it. So we have a measure. Wherefore I also, Paul, is this where we start our text for today. Wherefore I also, Paul is giving us an indication that what he's about to tell us, he's not the only one doing this. That others are also doing this, that the church is also doing this. We need to take an admonition and an example from Paul and divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Talk about loving each other. Steve mentioned that. That's the greatest thing, because in this is my Father glorified. That's the main purpose of all things, that you love one another. By this, if you love one another, men shall know that you are my disciples, loving one another. What do you feel when you're assembled together with the children of God? Whether it's in worship, whether it's in a funeral. As I said yesterday, I don't care if you're sitting somewhere having dinner together. If you're assembled together with church brethren and church sisters, disciples, brethren who are disciples of Christ, you're going to have happiness. You're going to have peace. You're going to have joy. I don't care where you're at. So Paul says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, after I heard, who did he hear it from? He heard it from the Spirit. Do you want to know the proof of that? Acts 26:28. God sent him to the Gentiles to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to the power of God, and I'm paraphrasing this, that they might receive forgiveness of sins. Paul did not save you from your sins. The gospel did not save you from your sins. The eternal saving of the child of God is in the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. The saving this, the Scripture is speaking of there is temporally in this world, having the joy of knowing that your sins are forgiven and you know God, you're redeemed, you're atoned for, you're brought back to God. You're brought to God. And that they might receive the inheritance. What's he been talking about? The inheritance. Through birth and through adoption. Both in Christ. That Gentiles in the flesh, strangers to the commonwealth of Israel, without God in the world, without hope in the world, that God was manifesting unto them through the preaching of the gospel, that many of them, those that God chose and gave to His Son, are children of God. Do you know God? Do you love God? Listen to me, Gentile, he says. If you know God, if you hate what you used to love and you love what you heard of and hated, then listen, let me tell you why God has quickened you and given you life. That's the gospel of good news. Paul says, wherefore also after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, where did it come from? He told the Gentiles in Galatians, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It comes from being born of God. Wherefore I also, along with other brethren, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, what follows that? And love, a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians, unto all the saints. Unto all the saints. Cease not to give thanks to God. are we not to be thankful? I heard somebody say one time, I think it was a preacher, I can't say it for sure, but I believe I was in the stand. As a matter of fact, it may have been at Rocky Mount on their annual in August, it comes to my mind, but somebody made the statement that the things you're not thankful for, the things you do not thank God for, you may not keep them very long. Because if we do not acknowledge God in all our ways, we begin to lose sight of God. Our sins creep in, and our sins begin to separate us from God as we live in this world. But to be ye thankful. Sister, that baby ain't hurting nothing. He's precious. But to be thankful. Are we not to be thankful for the church of God? We had a meeting yesterday. Brother Joe came up here, and I love him to death. He's my brother, and I believe he's a little crazier than I am, and that's really pitching it hard. But the Spirit of God blessed him to give us a wonderful message. Are we not thankful? Ought we not to thank God? Paul says, wherefore I also, every child of God, taking example, should be thankful. Cease not to give thanks for you, Gentiles in the church, the New Testament church, making mention of you in my prayers, personal, my prayers. Turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 9, and you will see where Paul states there. I'm just going to give you a few examples. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing. Do you remember when the Lord said men ought always to pray? Why? Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. When we're tempted, we pray to God. God delivers us. If we fall, we're not praying hard enough. We're not praying right enough, for God gives us deliverance, but we have to turn and repent from the things of the world and walk with God. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of the Son, that without ceasing, constant, I make mention of you. He's speaking to the Romans, but he's speaking of the church, always in my prayers. Philippians chapter 1. This is always part of Paul's beginning his discourse. Verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Do you thank God for the church? Do we thank God in prayer daily for the church? I've gotten to the point when I pray, I tried to model it after the model prayer. The Lord said the first thing we're to do is acknowledge the greatness of God, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. That declares the glory of God in heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, and all that he is. And the first thing we're told to pray for after that is thy kingdom come. Pray for the church. Thank God for the church. Pray for the church daily. I'm going to tell you, that did me good yesterday to listen to Joe talk about being discouraged. Steve and I sat down here and had prayer Wednesday afternoon. We both talk, we both get discouraged, we both wonder, is the church so small because of something we do? Is the church so small because of something we don't do? Well, I'll tell you an answer to that. There are many reasons the church is small. It's not anything to do, it's not the fault of God, for God gave it here. It's all the fault of us. That very probably begins in the ministry, but the shape of society and the darkness of the world has a lot to do with it also. Were it not that God preserved what we have, we would have nothing at all. And we ought to be thanking God for it daily. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm going to go ahead and read this last one to give you the assurance of God, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, that is Christ, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God will never leave us nor forsake us. He will have a kingdom somewhere here in this world. He will never leave his people. He loves us. He put that life in you. That life will be in you. He will preserve your body, spirit, and soul somewhere. It may be in the grave. Your soul may be with Christ and your body in the grave, but God will preserve it to the day of the resurrection. Now, another prayer. Colossians, it's close by. Verse 3, chapter 1. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. The church, Colossians, Gentiles, for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God and truth. Now Paul is speaking to them about praying for them and being thankful for them and praying for them daily and praying for them without ceasing. We ought to pray for each other. Christ commands us to pray. Our prayers are accepted of the Father through Christ. And the Lord tells us to pray, ask and ye shall receive. Ye have not because ye ask not. How many of God's children, myself included, from time to time, probably more so than not, have their thoughts and prayers taken away because they're blinded by something in the world or desire something in the world? Whether it's lust, whether it's greed, whether it's hatred or whatever, the things that Satan uses to turn us aside and take away our thoughts and prayer. You ever tried to pray to God and something pop into your head that's wicked and evil? Lord, I have. That's the devil tempting. But Paul says, cease not to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers. Listen to this. Listen to this. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? The God of the man, Jesus Christ. Christ is the living Word. Christ is the second person of the Godhead. Eternal, all three, Father, Word, Holy Spirit. They bear record in heaven of God. But the Father and the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ is all man, all God and all man. And God caused him to come forth in birth from the womb. He's all man. That's what I'm trying to tell you. What is Paul saying? That God in heaven, through Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, for no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him, that God would give you the knowledge of his Son, Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? Thank you. It is the knowledge of the work that Christ has done, that God sent him to do in this world. It is good news to a child of God. The wicked, those that perish, it's foolishness to them. They won't have it. One that is not, that is spiritually discerned, will not have it. A child of God before he's born of the Spirit of God and given life will not have it. But to one God is quickened and given life to hear the sound of the gospel, the glorious power of Jesus Christ, the beginning of the creation of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God. Oh, what peace in that knowledge, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Christ is the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, to us believe Christ, the wisdom, the power of God. And revelation. Well, you got to know God, so you better make up your mind. Let me tell you something. If I make up my mind, and Romans 5 says that I'm at enmity with God, then my mind and my natural state of nature is to hate God. We'll get into that next chapter. My natural state of nature cannot approach unto God because I'm still spiritually discerned if I'm in my nature. Jesus said in Matthew, that's what I turned to the day when you were preaching it the other few minutes ago. When you were preaching, I wanted to read that, because you put it on my mind. But Matthew 11, the Lord, toward the end of the chapter, I'm thinking verse 25, said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. What do we see in Matthew 16? We see the Lord and his disciples gathered there with him. He is telling them, talking to them, and he's telling them about the doctrine of the Pharisees and the scribes. He asked them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, John the Baptist. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias. Some say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus asked them, but whom say ye, his disciples, those God hath given life, those that have taken up their cross and follow him daily, denying self and trying to walk with God and love the brotherhood and love the church and pray for the church and pray for each other daily. And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And listen to the words Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which art in heaven. You want to know how you know God? Because God gave you life, God quickened you, and God gave you revelation. God manifested himself to the man Jesus Christ to you. What everybody fears to read. I hear people say, oh, read the Bible, but don't read the Revelation. We cannot understand that. Well, you are just exactly correct, for we cannot. But the Spirit of God does, for it gave it, and the Spirit of God reveals it to those people that are his. I'm going to tell you, it begins in simplicity, and it carries through simplicity the rest of the book. It is a gift of God, for it is a revelation. It is the manifestation of the Son of God, who declares the righteousness of God, and it's sent to his children. That's what Revelation says. God reveals it. God makes it manifest. He's talking to Gentiles who knew not God. What's the purpose of the knowledge of Christ? That the eyes of your understanding, 26:18 of Acts, this is what Paul came to do. Being enlightened, you had to be born of the Spirit in order to know it. God had to give you life in order to know it. You had to be called from sin and death unto the righteousness of Christ, the nature of Adam to the nature of Christ, to understand it. But then your understanding can be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope. The hope. I love my brethren, but I wish to the Lord in heaven I could have them understand. We don't have just a little hope. We have, according to Romans 8, an earnest expectation of the resurrection of the dead, the body, and the manifestation of the sons of God. When every child of God will come forth, the graves will be opened, we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever, ever be with the Lord. Now that's the knowledge, that's our hope. What is hope? What is faith? Hebrews 11:1, faith is the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for. God put it in your heart. When he wrote it upon your heart, when he wrote his law upon your heart, you have hope. How does hope save a man? Romans 8. By keeping us in the knowledge of God. That's part of the seal he was talking about, where God seals us and we have that knowledge and that blessed assurance. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the manifestation of the sons of God, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The riches of the glory of our inheritance which he hath given us. which he hath placed upon us, which he hath brought us into. It's all in Christ. It's all determined before the world ever was, and the great omniscience of God. It cannot be made void. It cannot be taken away. Every child of God raised up from the sin of death, the death of sin, pardon me, the stench of death, and brought into the glorious liberty, the glorious inheritance of the sons of God. How rich is the glory of his God. I told you several weeks ago, had God destroyed Adam and Eve and all the world with it, God would have been justified. But God, in his glory, in his grace, predetermined a people to love. I can't tell you why he chose who he did. I don't care. That's his business. I thank God to know him. I thank God to love him. I thank God to serve him. And I thank God who called me and sent me forth. I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, to teach his children about the glory of the eternal God in heaven. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the earnest expectation of the creature. That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I'll show you what I've read all week. I write it down as it hits my mind. I don't think I've covered any of that, but I'll take it and hope that's of the Lord. We'll finish this next week, Lord willing, this chapter. But let's just remember what Paul is teaching this people. Let's remember what we heard yesterday. Especially anybody with a child, I wish they would let the child would go to Ebenezer's site, webpage, Facebook, either one, and let their children listen to Joe telling them about creation and the functions of the eye and the digestive system and all those things. And how the holy God of creation created and just how old the world is. Listen to the afternoon. Tell us not to be discouraged. The preaching of the gospel. We've heard it this morning. Brother Steve has told us about the purpose of the gospel. To love God. To love Christ. To marvel. To stand in awe of God. To have understanding of what God has done for us. To have the knowledge of Jesus Christ in our heart. To have a church, a place to worship. Okay, there's six of us here. There's five of us here. Five or six on most days. But brethren, I'd rather be here than any other place in the world. For this place is not of this world. We have a little glimpse of glory. And I thank God for that. I'm so glad Christ gave us a kingdom. I'm so glad Christ gave us the knowledge of the finished work that he did. And I'm so thankful to know of our inheritance and the resurrection of the dead. These things were strangers to the Gentiles. They'd never heard these things before. We'll take this up next week, Lord willing.